Hey, Revival family, it's Pastor John. I'm looking forward to spending some time today again together with you in the Word of God. And I want you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. I want to take a little section of the closing of the book of Colossians where Paul, as he often does in his epistles, gets very practical. After the doctrinal section, he gets to the practical section. And this section is on the subject of prayer. So if you're going to take some notes in this Devo time, I encourage you to do that. I'm calling this devotion, How to Pray. And it's Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 down to verse 4. So let's read the text to begin, beginning in verse 2 of chapter 4. Paul says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Verse 4, "that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Then he says, "Walk in wisdom." I'm going to add a couple of verses, verse 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So in this section, Paul is kind of talking about two things. He's talking primarily about being a witness. You might say this is how to be a winning witness to the lost. And in a time like we're going through right now in America, we want as believers to let our light shine. We want to be a witness to others. But he does that through the avenue of prayer. He says if you're praying properly, then you will live properly. If you're praying right, you will live right. And the witness that we have to the world actually always starts with proper prayer. So let me make it real simple and give you four ways to pray in this time of difficulty that we're facing right now. Number one, we need to pray faithfully. Write that down. We need to pray faithfully. And I want you to see that in verse 2. The words are continue in prayer. That's stop right there. Continue in prayer. He's telling us to pray faithfully. The word continue in prayer is an imperative or a command. So it's not an option. God is actually telling us that we need to be continual in our prayer. And it speaks of devoting time and attention and strength. And you know, a lot of times we lack prayer in our life. We slack off in prayer. We don't pray the way that we should. And so Paul is actually telling us and commanding us here to pay attention to your prayer life, to give strength to your prayer life, to be devoted to your prayer life, to be absorbed in prayer, to give it attention and focus. Jesus taught about prayer in Luke chapter 18, and there's a whole chapter on prayer, and he gives a parable, but he starts a parable by saying in chapter 18, verse 1, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." And he tells the parable of the unjust judge, that there was a woman who needed some judgment, and he told a woman, "I haven't got time for you," but she was persistent and continual in coming to him. And he says, "You know, I don't fear God or man, but this woman is constantly bothering me, so I'm going to give her what she wants." The meaning of the parable is that we need to be persistent in prayer. We need to continue in prayer. Not that we have to overcome God's reluctance like an unjust judge, but that if a unjust judge will give a woman what she needs, how much more, he says, argument from the lesser to the greater, will your Father in heaven give the things that you are asking for? Remember James chapter 5 and verse 16, where it says, "There the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much." So we're to pray faithfully and continually. In the book of Acts, the early believers gathered together in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and it says they continued in prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, if you want to write that down, tells us there that we should pray without ceasing. So the number one thing Paul tells us to do is to pray faithfully. If you have forgotten to pray, then take time to pray. Mark it on your calendar. Set aside a time and say, "I'm going to get up in the morning," or "I'm going to take time at noon," or "I'm going to spend time before bed. I'm going to devote time to prayer." And then the second way that we need to pray is pray watchfully. So we pray faithfully and ongoingly and continually, but we need to pray watchfully. Notice what it says again in verse 2 of our text. he says there, watch in the same. So the first point is continue in prayer. The second point is watch in prayer. Now that word watch there means keeping awake. And I think that's so fitting because how often do we pray and fall asleep? Remember the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus asked them, watch with me, you know, stay awake is actually what he was saying. And he went a little deeper into the garden and prayed. And when he came back, what did he find? Peter, James, and John were sleeping. How many times we get maybe kneel by our bed at night and start to pray and we fall asleep. So we need to stay awake and alert. But here it's not talking about literally staying awake. It's talking about mentally and spiritually being sober and keeping an eye out. In the book of Nehemiah, when they were building the walls and being attacked by Sanballat and Tobiah and the enemies of God, the Bible says in Nehemiah 4:9 that we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night. So there is an enemy. The Bible says the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy your walk with God. He wants to destroy your relationship with your spouse. He wants to destroy your church, your community, your country. He's evil and he's out to destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we need to be vigilant and sober because we do have an enemy, and stay awake and stay alert in our ministry of prayer. It's so very, very important. So we need to pray watchfully. It's so important. Now, the third way we need to pray, and I love it in verse 2 as well, is that we need to pray thankfully. So we need to be faithful, watchful, and thankful. Notice it with me in your Bible in verse 2. He said, in the same with thanksgiving. So continue in prayer, watch in the same, and do it all the time with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful when we pray. You know, it's interesting. If we want to maintain your zeal for prayer, we ought to be thankful when we pray. Sometimes we lose out in our prayer life because we don't have a thankful heart. A thankful heart generates a desire to pray. I have found that sometimes when I don't know what to pray and I'm not sure how to pray, I just start giving thanks. Just start praising the Lord. Maybe even singing a song and make it a prayer to the Lord. So we need to be thankful. Write down 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul says, in everything give thanks, knowing that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the amazing thing is that even as we pray and God may not answer our prayers the way we want him to, do you know that we can even be thankful for things that God says no to? Have you ever thought about being thankful for unanswered prayer? It's so very important. The more we walk with God, the longer we are believers, the more we learn that God in his wisdom says no to things he knows are not good for us. I just read a quote that struck me by Guy King. He said, in his love, God wants the best for us. In his wisdom, he knows what's best for us. And in his power, he gives us what's best for us. He supplies in his power what is best for us. So be thankful even for unanswered prayer. Be thankful when God says, wait, he's teaching us patience. And be thankful when God does answer our prayer and we give him praise. So we need to be praying faithfully, watchfully, and thankfully. Take the time today to count your blessings. Don't look at the negatives. Don't look at the bad things. Don't look at the things that are going wrong in your life, in your home, in your world. But stop and count your blessings. There's an old song we used to sing, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. So stop today and count your blessings. But here's number 4, we're to pray purposefully. We're to pray purposely. And the background for that is in verses 3 and 4 of our text, where Paul says, would you pray for me that God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest or clear as I ought to speak. So there's two things that Paul specifically wanted them to pray for. Well, he first of all wanted them to pray for him and his companions. So let me make this point. Don't forget to pray for your spiritual leaders. And you can put me on the top of your list. I'll take prayer any time of the day. Pray for us as pastors. Pray for those that are serving here at the church. Pray for missionaries. Pray for church workers. But especially our spiritual leaders, we need to lift them up in prayer and pray for God to strengthen them. But he asks that you pray two things, very specifically, that God would open the door of utterance, verse 3, and that he would make it clear when he spoke in verse 4. You know, it's interesting, Paul, again, in the Colossian epistle, was writing from prison. He was under house arrest in Rome. You talk about being locked down in your house. Paul was locked down in his house. And he really couldn't go anywhere. He was actually chained to a Roman soldier. But Paul says, look, I want you to pray specifically. Don't pray general, vague kind of prayers. God save the world. God help everybody. But be specific and pray for your spiritual leaders and pray that they would have an open door. You know, it's wonderful when you're serving the Lord and God opens a door. You know, we're talking right now about how God seems to shut the door and we're unable to meet corporately as a church. But in doing that, God has also opened a door and we're able to broadcast over the internet and reach a lot of people via the internet. So God is using it for his glory. Do we want to meet corporately in church? Yes. Something that's really been on my heart is the fact that we're the body of Christ and that we are all individually part of that body, and that God has no vestigial organs in the body of Christ. We're all needed, necessary, and important, and we all have necessary gifts that supply one another. So when we can't meet corporately, we can't pray for one another, wash one another's feet, or serve one another. So we miss that, and we need it as the body of Christ to minister. But we also need to go out of the church, as God has forced us out right now, with the gospel, with the good news. So pray specifically for the webcast on Wednesday night, on Sunday morning. Let your friends know about them. Get the word out. Let them know about the morning devotions. Let them know about the evening devotions. Tell them about our website. But pray specifically that the gospel would go out as God opens this door, and that we also, secondly, can make it clear that myself, Chris, the other pastors, Todd, as we're preaching, as we're sharing, as the devotions are going out, the messengers are going out, that we would make the gospel clear. The gospel is that God sent his son to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven. Christ rose from the dead to give us hope and life so that we can make the gospel clear. And if you're watching this Devo right now and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do it now. Do it today. Make sure that your sins are forgiven, that you know you have a hope in heaven when you die. Become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, pray for us specifically that God would open the door, and pray that when we speak the word that we're able to do it clearly, that we're able to make it very, very clear. Now, in closing, I want to add verse 5 and verse 6. I believe the result of praying faithfully and watchfully and thankfully and purposely, very specifically praying for spiritual leaders and for the gospel to go out, that God would open that door of utterance, that we need to do two things in closing. Verse 5, and this would be the result of proper prayer, that we will walk in wisdom, verse 5, and that we will speak with grace in verse 6. When we go out into the community, ask God to help you to live a life of holiness, walking in wisdom. And then in verse 6, be always speaking with grace and have your speech seasoned with salt so that you may know how you ought to answer every man, so that we can be a witness of the gospel. So not only do we share the word of the gospel, but we need to walk the gospel. You know, a lot of people aren't wanting to hear a sermon. They're wanting to see a sermon in your life and in my life. So let's pray that God will use us to walk in wisdom, trust in God, speak with grace, and that our speech will be seasoned with salt, that there'll be flavor and kindness and mercy and grace. Remember when Jesus forgave the sinful woman in John 8? He said, "Neither do I condemn you." He spoke with grace. But then he said, "Go and sin no more." He spoke with salt. So we need to have the same kind of speech as we minister to those that are around us. So remember these four things: how to pray faithfully, watchfully, thankfully, and purposefully. But let's close together in prayer and ask God to use this text today in our lives to make us salt and light to the world around us. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. We know that your word is a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path. And I pray that you'll take these points, these truths from this text, and help them to grip our hearts. Teach us to pray faithfully and watchfully and thankfully and purposefully. Help us, Lord, to live graciously and speak graciously and to live in wisdom. Lord, use us today for your glory. We thank you that we're the body of Christ, that we're members one of another, that all the members are important. The hand can't say to the eye, I have no need of you. That we're all important in this body, in this family. So bless your people, strengthen them, use them for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and everyone agreeing said, amen and amen. God bless you. Don't forget to take time to be thankful today and continue in God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.